Prince Saradin distributed his social attentions between his guests with great gaiety and tact. Finding the detective of a sporting turn, and eager to employ his holiday, he guided Flambeau and Flambeau's boat down to the best fishing spot in the stream, and was back in his own canoe in 20 minutes to join Father Brown in the library, and plunge equally politely into the priest's more philosophic pleasures. He seemed to know a great deal both about the fishing and the books, though of these not the most edifying. He spoke 5 or 6 languages, though chiefly the slang of each. He had evidently lived in varied cities and very motley societies, for some of his cheerfulest stories were about gambling hells and opium dens, Australian bush rangers or Italian brigands. Father Brown knew that the once celebrated Saradin had spent his last few years in almost ceaseless travel, but he had not guessed that the travels were so disreputable or so amusing. Indeed, with all his dignity of a man of the world, Prince Saradin radiated to such sensitive observers as the priest a certain atmosphere of the restless, and even the unreliable. His face was fastidious, but his eye was wild. He had little nervous tricks, like a man shaken by drink or drugs, and he neither had, nor professed to have, his hand on the helm of household affairs. All these were left to the 2 old servants, especially to the butler, who was plainly the central pillar of the house. Mr. Paul, indeed, was not so much a butler as a sort of steward, or even chamberlain. He dined privately, but with almost as much pomp as his master. He was feared by all the servants, and he considered